It is with
great sadness.
Well, it's a mixture of profound...
bittersweet?
Yeah, it's satisfaction and dismay that we welcome you to the final installment. The final episode, yes, of the steam room.
I feel like that when I'm with you and Cheryl Ann.
What?
You're bitter and she's sweet. Uh-huh.
She is bittersweet. Yeah.
I mean, I have mixed emotions.
Do you really?
I do.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Three seasons worth. This will be the one that closes the book on season three. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And we have a great guest.
Literally.
A little bit later, Josh Allen.
Great, great player.
Wonderful young quarterback who's also going to be part of the match on TNT on June 1st.
June 1st, him and Pat Mahomes against Aaron and Tom. And yeah. I told you that next, because we have the tape that next week after that game, I says, I'm not even caught up in the moment. That was the best football game I'd ever seen. Yeah.
Can't wait to talk to him about that and many other things a bit later.
I want
to
know if he's still cheap.
Okay. Well, let's not give everything away.
I want to know, because like last time I saw Josh, he was playing in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
He was playing like $10 a hand.
Okay. All right. Well,
I want to know if he's still cheap.
We'll get into that with him. TK will make an appearance. And of course, a little bit later, the last round of Chuck's answering machine phone call. So this is going to be a fun,
we're going to have some fun
final episode. But every episode begins the same way. First of all.
Yes. First of all, you know you have a lot of money when you get Honey Nut Cheerios. I've had the regular Cheerios.
First of all, you know anybody ride a motorcycle who makes millions of dollars is an idiot.
First of all, zero plus zero is zero. Oh, I got a lot of stuff here. So, you know my affection for hockey. I think the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best sporting event. I think the Stanley Cup trophy is the most amazing trophy in all of sports.
Just the Stanley Cup. You don't have to call it the Stanley Cup trophy. Just the Stanley Cup. Nobody goes, hey, we won the Stanley Cup trophy. We won the Stanley Cup.
Okay, okay. Okay. Correct me on TV. Make me feel dumb.
No, it's on a podcast.
Okay, okay.
So it doesn't count.
But I got to tell you something right now. I want to thank TBS, TNT, ESPN. Being able to watch basketball and hockey every night.
It's been fun.
It's been so much fun. And guys, when we're at work, we have about 10 televisions in a room. And it's been so awesome for me to have two hockey games on, whether they're on TBS, TNT.
It's like a sports bar without the bar.
Unfortunately, that's the only negative.
Good point. Well, we couldn't possibly turn that into a... I mean, it would just get out of hand in a hurry.
All we would have to do is add the click button.
The click button.
In case somebody says something stupid, we could click it. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to us just getting drunk at work and watching basketball and hockey.
Would that not revolutionize our industry if that were allowed?
I'm guaranteeing we would have great ratings. First of all, we should
shoot the show in the green room.
Yeah, but
these TVs.
But we should have two shows. Mm-hmm. We should do it like the Manning's podcast. Uh-huh. We should have one for regular people and kids to watch, and then we should have one with the F-bombs and MFs and like a total different channel. We can call it the Barkleycast.
Huh. I don't know. So like, it's almost like that would be the NBA on TNT After Dark.
Or we could do like we did at the All-Star game.
Yeah, like when we just called the game from the... From the
stage.
From the set.
You know, hey, you know TNT, if they can find a way to make some money, they're going to do it.
I don't know about, that would get so unwieldy.
So much fun.
How about, I mean, there's snacks, there's anything you want to drink, there's Shaq in the corner with hookah, there's all kinds of, you know, there's this haze going over the.
We'll be bringing in a whole other demographic with the hookah people. I mean, we got everything. Listen, I don't know a lot of people who smoke.
I think we probably have some hookah.
Yeah. But this will be a whole new demographic.
Yeah.
Okay, so just think about that.
All right.
So, but I just want to thank everybody because we're not in competition with ESPN. We're all in the same boat together. We just want the sports to be perfect.
Yeah, it's not like we're not rooting for anybody. We just want compelling,
good
stories.
Yes.
And it's like when we were watching last night, it was like this Philadelphia-Miami, it'd be great to have that series tied.
Yes.
At 2-2. You know, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
The better storylines. And that's what we're that's what we're always about.
Yeah, I agree.
So nobody's really rooting for anybody.
So last week I got to play in a senior event here in Atlanta, and I played with Darren Clark.
Was this one of the greatest golfing days you've ever enjoyed?
Yes. Because, you know, the last couple of years I played with John Daly, who's a good friend, but John pulled out of the tournament, and I got to play with Darren Clark. And his cat, his name is Sandy Armour, who's really a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to meet Darren Clark. Because, you know, there's certain guys in all sports, you're like, I like to meet that guy and hang out with him a little bit.
You two, the combined number of great stories from your careers, you could it would take 54 holes at least of nonstop talking for you guys to get all of your good stories out.
So it was just an honor and a privilege to play with him.
What did you want to know from him?
I didn't want to know anything from him. I just wanted to see if he was as good a dude on television and what I heard.
Yeah.
Because everybody liked him. And you're like, okay, I like to go drinking and play golf with that dude one day. And I got a chance, so I just want to say it was awesome for him. I don't know who I'm playing with this week. I'm playing in Birmingham, but we got a major at my golf course in Birmingham called the Regions.
Mm.
And I'm going to play in that golf tournament this
week. In the Pro-Am?
In the Pro-Am. So I don't know who they're going to pair me with, but I always look forward to it. Last year I played with Coach Harson at Auburn. First time I met him, we had a great time. I played with Bruce Pearl before. But I always look forward to playing with a pro, because anytime you play with a pro, it's a pretty special thing.
Yeah. And you can learn a lot just by watching the way they go around a golf course.
And, you know, and Darren gave me, you know, my coach always talked to me, Stan Utley, who's amazing, saved my golfing life. He said, you got to keep your body moving through the ball, Chuck. Because when I get tired, I quit moving my body.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Chuck, when you got to really concentrate when you get tired. You got to keep your body going through the ball, because if you quit, you're not going to hit good shots. So we had a blast.
Well, apparently you've been following his advice, because I've seen
Stan.
I've seen the results, man. No, you're playing great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Don't try to butter me up.
I'm not buttering up. You're going to whip my ass Masters.
But I'm not worried about you.
I know. You're worried about Eric.
Yes.
But he hasn't been playing much either. So you should win this thing.
I just want you to know, I didn't appreciate you bringing a ringer last time.
He's not a ringer. He's my son.
But he was a ringer.
No, come on. Yeah. You can't call a guy who's a double-digit handicap a ringer.
We're all double digits. But let me tell you something. You, Eric, Grant Hill, Steve Smith, Grant Hill.
Oh, you Grant Hill twice.
Because him.
And he can't play. I reached out to Grant. He can't play. Greg Anthony can't play. Smitty can't play.
These are cowards. That's the word you're thinking of, aren't it? They're just cowards.
No, they have previous commitments.
Yeah, okay.
On that day.
Last year, they wanted to go to a Hawks game. Like, who want to go to a Hawks game? Nobody.
What's up next
So, I want to talk about this MVP thing. It's a really tricky award. People can vote for who they want to, because this is a personal opinion.
Yeah.
But, obviously, Joker's going to win it, and it's well-deserved. I personally would have voted for Joel Embiid.
I voted for Joker.
You voted for Joker? And I have no problem with people voting for Joker, because he's a terrific player.
I had Joker, Embiid, and Giannis as my top three, and then I had Devin Booker and John Morant.
And I got no problem with that. You know, I was actually watching television and actually listening to the radio, because I wanted to come on here today and get it from every angle. And I want to make it clear, I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer. But a couple people said, which I think worth digesting, they said what they think happened was people complained that Joker won it last year. So some of the reporters doubled down, because they did the same thing with Steve Nash when he won it the second time. Because they say Steve Nash deserved it the first time, but they wasn't sure he deserved it the second time. But some of the reporters wanted to prove we were right.
I don't know. And I see what you're saying. But look, as a guy who votes, I never think, now I need to validate the selection I made the previous year. No, it's just like, this was one of the toughest MVP votes of all time for me. in all the years I've been doing it.
I want to see the voting, personally.
I can't wait to see the breakdown, too.
Yeah.
I want to see how close it was.
See, because that will tell me something. Because you had to put those three guys first, second, or third.
In some order, yeah.
Yes. The first year I should have won MVP. I think it was 88-89. Magic won. It was the closest vote of all time. And I know I should have won it. You know, the reason I should have won it, because I got the most first place votes. But the way they screwed me, I didn't get in the second and third place votes. And I was like,
that's odd.
I says, that's what I said. I says, well, I'm going to get first, second, or third. Some of the reporters are like, didn't want me to win, which they had an opinion, but you have to be realistic. I said, okay, I'm looking at the voting. I'm first, and then I'm fifth. It doesn't work like that. You either got to be first or second, and at worst case scenario, third, because it was between me and Magic. So I really want to see what some of the people voted Joel and Giannis, because it's heavily weighted toward first place, second, and third place votes. But, like, even with a good conscience, you got to put those guys one, mm-hmm. two, three.
Right.
And like I say, congratulations to the Joker. Hell of a player, great kid. But I just saying, personally, myself, I would have voted for Joel Embiid.
And I think that's the great thing about it. When you have this panel of 100 media folks, you're going to get the MVP out of that. And that takes into account likes and dislikes and how I might look at numbers and how the writer might look at numbers and how you consider. And it is. And so when I look at all that, I said, okay, Joker, Embiid, Giannis. And that's the guy right next to me might have it
yeah.
the other way. And that's fine. And that's fine.
But I can say two things. I want to notice. I want to look at the voting. But secondly, I do think Joel hurt yourself complaining about it all the time. I think psychologically, if you bitch and complain all the time, and it was like, I don't know what I got to do to win MVP, I think people get turned off by that.
Yeah. You know, and I've done this for years, but I'm not totally comfortable being one of the voters. And I'm wondering, are we the best people to be handing this out? Are the media members the best people to be voting on all these awards? Or should it be a player thing?
Well, I think...
Should the players vote on it?
Well, because players going to... Everybody have biases. There's players I'm pretty sure don't like other players. I have no problem with the media voting for it. As long as I can look at their voting thing and says, wait, man, you put Embiid fifth or you put Giannis fifth because you wanted a certain guy to win. That's why I think we should always make voting publicly so you can at least defend, like, okay, tell me why you voted. You thought this dude, because the voting speaks for itself. Like, Ernie, as well as I know you, you said, I had Joker, Embiid, Giannis. Everybody should have those three. If you don't have those guys, one, two, or three, you need to take a good look in the mirror because it wasn't but three candidates. Because I'm trying to think.
But people can also look, and because there's a philosophy or a way of thinking that, okay, who was the best team in the NBA this year? Who is the best player on the best team?
Yeah.
So I think Devin Booker might have gotten a couple, you know, maybe
top
somebody
five.
Looked at him, well, top five for sure.
Yeah.
But maybe they look at that and say, well, maybe he should be in the top yeah. three because their team had the best record.
Well, but the difference is, though, he is not far away the best player on his own team. So I think that hurts him because last year, remember, I was stumping for Chris Paul last year.
Yeah.
Because one thing that really annoys me is these clowns on television who – act like this fake, and it's just clearly fake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the MVP has always went, if it was close at all, it went to the guy who was on the best team. They had these silly debates on other shows every year. Well, this guy should be an MVP. I said, you go back and look. Michael Jordan was the best player in the NBA probably 3 years before he won MVP because his team was not winning.
Right.
Kobe Bryant, before he won, he was probably the best player before he won it. Same thing with Shaq, but it's always been tied to winning. And it's just really unfortunate we made it like, okay, let's look at the three best players and are they winning? And like I say, it was a three-horse race this year. I didn't care who won it out of the three. Like I said, if I had a vote, I would have voted for Joel. But I'm really curious to see the voting. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, me too. All right. Anything else?
Don't want to forget about Brittany Griner. We're thinking about you. And it's a crazy situation. And that dude over there is crazy. So I hope that you're safe. And I think it's great what the WNBA is putting your initials on the court. But we're thinking about you.
That has been a while now.
Yeah.
Golly.
And listen, as you see with, unfortunately, with the thing going on in Ukraine, man, this dude is so unpredictable. He's clearly doing it out of spite because I think he's upset that the United States is sending Ukraine weapons. But you just never know when you're dealing with somebody like that what's going to happen.
That is, first of all, is that all for first of all?
That's it, brother.
That's a lot of first of alls right there.
Thank you, brother.
But we're allowed a lot of first of alls when it's
a season finale.
Perfect. Yes. We'll be back. We are back inside the steam room.
Oh, we got a special guest today.
Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley on the season finale of the steam room. And because it is such a special day, we have special intro music for our special guest.
Uh-oh.
All right.
That's life. I like it.
That's life.
That's life.
That is, as a matter of fact, that's one of the go-to songs for in his pregame routine. Is Frank Sinatra's That's Life.
Well,
how about that? Josh Allen joining us here in the steam room. We only have one rule in the steam room, Josh, and that is we ask that you leave your towel on. And as long as you abide by that rule, we're all good to go.
I know Chuck hasn't.
So where did this, the Frank Sinatra pregame? It's Frank Sinatra, it's Elvis, it's Sammy Davis Jr., it's where did that all come from?
I've done the headbanging music, the rap, the hip hop, the rock music. And when I get out there, the first play, that first drive, I'm so eager and I'm so tensed up that something usually bad happens. It usually takes a hit to kind of calm me down. So I've kind of tweaked it and figured out that listening to kind of like the old slow school stuff keeps me very calm, keeps me at peace. So when I get out there, I'm in a good state, ready to perform at the best of my abilities.
You know, Josh, the first time I noticed you was in college. And I'm like, how is this kid at Wyoming? I was like, it was unbelievable. I watched you play in a couple of snow games. And you were throwing that thing like it was like 80 degrees and sunny. How did you get to that school?
Yeah, out of high school, I had no offers. So I went junior college route and again, played, I started 6 or 7 games there and my numbers were good. My tape was good and still no coaches were coming around looking. And then I had an offer from Wyoming. I was flying out that weekend. I got a call from Eastern Michigan. They had offered me and said, we want to fly you out. And during junior college time, there's only like a certain 2-week period where you can go visit, or there used to be, at least I don't know if things have changed. So I couldn't go visit Eastern Michigan. They pulled it. And Wyoming was my only offer, and I took it. But Eastern Michigan, they beat me twice in college, so don't think it's a funny story on their part, too. So, but yeah, it was my only offer, and I took it and ran with it, and it was the best decision of my life.
Josh Allen is the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, number 7 pick in the draft, as you pointed out, Chuckster, from Wyoming. And also going to be taking part in the match on June 1st. Now, look, your golf game. How would you describe? I know you love the game. How good is your game?
I'm a football player with a golf problem. We'll say that. I love it. I love everything about it. I love the mental game. I love the little tiny physical tweaks that can change everything. It's been a process this offseason. I've kind of worked with a hitting coach, Wade Wilson, who's down at the country club in Southern California I'm at. And we kind of tore some things down and started doing things a little differently. And the first couple weeks were very, very brutal. it kind of scared me, but I think things are going in the right direction right now. Like I said, Buffalo hasn't been able to be very golf friendly in the last few weeks since I've been up here, but things are turning around. The weather's getting good and we're going to have to keep going out. And I got Case Keenum here, who is an absolute stick, going to be trying to teach me some things before I go out there.
So you played in Tahoe, you play in Pebble Beach. How are you with the crowds? Because I noticed myself, it's a totally different animal when I'm screwing around with my friends, even though we're playing and we're serious, but playing in front of big crowds. What's the difference for you mentally?
I'll tell you what, after that first tee, that's usually when you're jittery. You got kind of the shakes. Your hands are going a little crazy. Stomach's in knots. But after that first tee shot, if you can put one in the fairway, I think things kind of get a little more relaxed. But again, if you're spraying it off the tee with people, it can be scary at times because you want people to move back and they don't want to. They want to be as close to the action as possible, which is a little scary at times. And I have to kind of remind everybody that I'm a football player. I don't do this professionally, even though I want to. And even though I think I can, I'm not as good as I think I am. And no one cares as much as I think I care. So it's a good time, though.
How about playing? You know, you're going to partner with Patrick Mahomes. And Chuck and I have talked about it. That's the greatest football game I ever saw. Greatest football game I ever saw when you guys played the overtime game. How would you best describe your relationship with Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, we were both at Miami this weekend at F1. We were kind of texting, kind of see if we were there. Saturday night, he FaceTimes me, and he's like, come here. And, you know, sure enough, we go up, and we hung out for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just kind of hanging around, talking, having a good time. So, again, I walked away, and I'd spent a couple times around Patrick, but every time I'm around him, he's just a great dude. He's a great personality. He's fun to be around. And obviously, all the respect that I have for him on the field, I think it's a different vibe than what people think. And again, when we step on that field, we're supposed to be competitors. And, you know, it's the old mantra of you got to hate your enemy, you know. But, you know, I would say that we have a really good relationship, especially for, you know, the type of games that we tend to play in. AFC Championship 2 years ago and obviously the divisional last year. But he's awesome. He really is. Love being around him. I'm super excited for this opportunity with him because I think the other side, they're going to riff a little more than me and Pat. I think we're going to feed off each other pretty well.
You know, I'm a pseudo Buffalo Bills fan because I'm good friends with Jim Kelly, Cornelius Bennett, Thurman Thomas. I watched that documentary. It's probably the most underrated great achievement in sports history, making it to 4 straight Super Bowls. They never got the credit and respect they deserve because they didn't win one. But the one thing I have learned over the years about the Bills Mafia, can you explain, because like those people, that's the only thing they got there, really. Can you explain the Bills Mafia to us?
Yeah, they're the best. I think they're the best fan group in the entire world. They are light the table on fire, jump from an RV. Unbelievable energy. I mean, it's got its pros and its cons. You know, it's tough to go out to eat sometimes because they want to give you their love. And it's so great. It's such a fun city to play in. It's a fun city to be a part of. And the community, they really rally around each other. You know, a couple of years ago, my grandmother passed and people started donating. I think the tally for that donation that kind of keeps going is over $5 million now from just community donations, people from around the country, around the world, that are Bills fans, and they call themselves Bills Mafia. And it is absolutely unreal how much support that they give the Buffalo Bills here. And we want to perform as players because we know the early 90s, what that was. And we want to give them the feeling of, you know, accomplishing that goal that was set out, like you said, from the guys, the greats that were here before us. And, you know, they deserve it because they've been through a lot. They went through the 17-year drought. And now, you know, we want to just give them a product that they can be happy with when they're on the field.
So I told Ernie earlier, I says, last time I saw Josh, he was cheap. So when you were still on your rookie deal, I met your mom and dad in Lake Tahoe and we were gambling a little bit. You were playing $25 a hand. Are you still playing $25 a hand when you play blackjack?
I'm still playing $25 a hand. Absolutely. I don't know what it is about it, Chuck. I know you like, I won't say what you were betting, but it's a little more than mine.
We know.
And Chuck goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, Chuck, I don't have it like you. Like, I'm a rookie contract quarterback that's 2 years into the league. Like, I'm still figuring things out. So, but yeah, I love gambling. I love playing blackjack. but I absolutely despise losing. So if I walk away and I'm down $300, I got a pit in my stomach, you know? So something that I got to get over if I want to, you know, go out there and hang out with you, you know, in Tahoe and be able to sit at that table you're sitting at. So, you know, maybe you got to teach me a few things.
Let's go back a few years. Growing up in California, what was your job on the farm?
Yeah, me and my brother, we moved irrigation pipe. We would go out in the cotton fields, weed the cotton, any miscellaneous item that my dad had us do. We were cleaning up hay in one of the cotton gin shops one year. This is not fun work. It's hot.
Not as much fun as you describe right there, huh?
Oh, my God. I got stung in the head one time from a bee when we were moving irrigation pipe at 13. That was miserable. It's hot. And you got to wear long sleeves because when you're moving the pipe, if you got a short sleeve on, it's 115 degrees. You touch that thing, it's burning your skin. So it's a thing where my dad was like, if you are involved in sports, that's your way out. So my dad was very gracious in that term of if we're playing basketball, baseball, or football, we swam, we did gymnastics, karate, we played soccer for a little bit. I mean, you name it, we did it because that was kind of our out from not being on the farm. And my dad would tell us childhood stories of him waking up at 5 o'clock before school, going and doing things, going to school, practice, then coming home and still having to do a few things on the ranch. So it's definitely a tough life. I got to see a great role model, my dad, each and every day, and showed me how to be, you know, who I am today.
You also worked at your mom's restaurant, correct? I'm assuming this was not moving irrigation pipe and burning your arms on it.
Yeah, I mean, that was just more so bussing tables and just trying to make sure that the food that we were eating wasn't costing her too much on the staff, because me and my brother, we like to eat. Chuck, I know you like to eat. It was pretty good food.
Yeah, hey, you know, you're speaking of miserable. Football is my favorite sport. I'm always with my friends. And then, you know, the seasons change and it's cold as hell. Then it's snowing. And you hear people say, well, once you get warmed up, it's not cold. They're like, oh, that's total BS. They're like, man, it's freezing the whole time. How uncomfortable or do you enjoy playing in snow or really cold weather?
I absolutely hate it. I despise it. but if there's going to be an advantage for me opposed to a different quarterback, I think it makes it worth it. But I'll tell you what, during that Patriot game, I had a rollout and I had left my hand out of my hand warmer for just 10 seconds too long. And I went to throw that ball and my hand was completely numb and it just dirted straight to the ground. So when you're off the field, you've got to be bundled up in a jacket. You got to be on the seats that are heated. You got to put your helmet on the pad that keeps it heated. You got to put a beanie on. It's a process, but thankfully we've played it enough where our equipment staff, our training staff, and even our coaches, like the strategic way that we kind of go about things, the things we have on the sideline available for us, it's all thought out and it gives us all the tools that we need to stay warm. Because when you're on the field, the only thing you really feel, your toes. My toes go like just absolutely frozen. I got little blocks of ice in there, you know. It's tough. But and those showers after the game are absolutely terrible. They feel like you're burning alive.
Hey, this is another pregame ritual, and I should alert all of our loyal steamers who are listening today that this might be an uncomfortable part of the podcast today.
Uh-oh.
Because you know another one of his game day rituals or routines?
No.
He throws up before every game. This is true, right, Josh?
It is.
Is this voluntary or involuntary?
Sometimes I have to do it.
Like, are you making yourself?
Sometimes, no, it literally, as I'm talking through pregame. So throughout even my college career, I never threw up, but I would have like this weird dry heave on the sidelines and I couldn't get rid of it. I would cramp up, I'd dry heave. I don't know if it's like a subconscious anxiety or something, but I don't feel it anywhere else other than like once I go in for pregame, after our pregame warmup, I go in and everybody's sitting there. I go straight into the bathroom, let the demons out. Guys will come watch and cheer me on, you know, and then take my caffeine and get ready for the game and go out there. And then I don't have that weird feeling of dry heaving on the sidelines anymore. But every once in a while on the sidelines, I'll be sitting there talking and I sit right by the trash can. I just got to get up and let some demons out there too.
Ever have anything similar to that, Chuckster?
I feel great anxiety before every game, mainly the night before the game. Because, you know, that's how I developed my sleeping disorder, why I very seldom sleep. Like, I got, going back to high school, I was so excited for the game the next day. And what's happening, the doctors think with my body clock, I went from playing 30 games to 35 games to 82 to 100 games. So that's why I only sleep about 4 hours a night. I get so excited to play basketball. And I guess his comes out during the day, so it's probably the same thing.
Do we need to have some receptacle handy on the first tee at the match?
It honestly wouldn't be the worst idea. I started doing it really two and a half years ago, and ever since then I've started playing pretty good football, and so maybe I'd do it on the golf course too. I'll test it out. I'm going out today. I'll let you know how it goes.
Dude, whatever it takes.
So what is your official handicap?
I'm like a 7.5 right now, last time I checked.
And what's Patrick? You know what he is?
I don't know, but he gave me a score. I'm not going to give you guys any insight so you can tell Tom and Aaron. So I know you'll run off and let them know. But he had a good round last week, he said. So we'll be good off. We'll be long off the tee. We just got to make some putts, I think.
I actually played with Pat in Tahoe a couple years ago. And he hasn't even been playing golf that long. And, man, his speed through the ball was very – I played with him and Travis – and man, he goes at it.
Yeah.
Now he ain't got no idea where it's going, but he's going at it. And it was pretty impressive to watch.
But I think it's a shamble. So if one of us can poke one out in the fairway, we'll have a slight advantage over the old guys, I think.
We look forward to being part of that. Chuck and I are going to be out there calling it.
It's me, you, and JJ Watt.
Yeah, it's going to be some fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And so we look forward to being out there. And Josh, you're a good man for hanging out and spending some time with us. We appreciate you. And can't wait to see you in Vegas, man.
And please tell Leslie Frazier that I said hello, and Coach Sean, too.
Okay, I will definitely do that.
All right, man. See you at the match.
Yeah, sounds good. You guys have a good one.
That was awesome. Tell you what, man, I got a chance to meet him and his mom and dad. It was funny. I was like, yo, man, are you really playing for $25 a hand? And but we had a blast. And he is a flat-out stud.
Not everybody can sit at the table with the Chuckster when it comes. I mean, I'm just not a big gambler, man. You know, I go down there with a set amount of money, and when it's gone, I'm back in the bed.
I go down there with a set amount of money too. All I got. Hey, all I got. I'm not leaving this for my family. Freeloaders, America's guests.
Our thanks.
Y'all
to Josh
go out and get a job like I did.
Such a fountain of life advice, Charles Barkley. We'll be back. We are back on the Steam Room.
Yes.
Again, it's the finale. It's the finale, man, for this
season.
Doesn't
that sound so horrible? Well,
it does to me too.
There is a finality to it.
When you're watching your favorite TV shows and it said a season finale,
mm-hmm.
It's just gut-wrenching.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Yeah, like tonight.
Is it gut-wrenching for you that this is the last time we'll talk to the legendary Tim Kiley on the Steam Room?
I prefer for him Tim Kiley. But you know, tonight, I think tonight's the season finale for The Good Doctor. One of my favorite TV shows.
You can't stream that. You can't. You just.
I have to watch it live, TK. You know that.
You don't have to. There is still a way to record television shows, Charles.
Tuesday night is FBI. FBI Most Wanted and FBI International. And Wednesday is Chicago Fire, Med, and PD.
Wow.
And occasionally
you're just a walking TV guy.
Hey, brother.
It's just a sneak a basketball game once in a while. So.
Hey, I have basketball on.
Okay.
I do. With one eye.
And
now Maurice Cheeks' eye. You have one eye on the game.
No, hey, it's Maurice Cheeks. I only got one eye. The eye that Dr. J's in. And now I got hockey on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, so what's on your mind today?
Well, Ernie, since it is the finale of the show, we're going to play a little Steam Room Season 3 trivia.
Uh-oh.
The music, please, Cap.
I'm terrible at trivia.
First one is for Charles. This season, Ernie revealed he has a tattoo. What is it, and where is it located?
Man.
He's got no chance on this.
I got no chance at that. I'm going to take a wild guess. It's on his ankle, and it's something to do with his kids.
It's on this arm, and it's Yahweh written in Hebrew.
Yahweh, one of the
Old Testament names for God. A name so holy you weren't even supposed to say it.
That's right.
So,
well, you don't have to say it. You got it on your shoulder.
I've got it on my arm right there.
Hey, Ernie, TK, I got to tell you something.
What?
Ernie was on vacation a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And he was kind of naked. And I was like, I sent him back, please don't ever send that, do a photo like that with you half naked.
I was showing him my surgery scars.
He sends me a picture back of him naked.
No, I did not do that.
You were.
That sounds like a Shaq
You
move.
Sure you didn't wasn't naked?
No, I wasn't. I would never do that, Chuck. I would never, not even to my worst enemy would I do that.
Well, you'd see Yahweh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right.
All right, for Ernie, in episode 13, what did Charles say is the perfect McDonald's chicken McNugget barbecue sauce packet ratio?
It's like 2 to 1 or 3 to 1.
2 to 1 is correct.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
See, I pay attention when you talk.
Yeah, I know. Hey, that's
you
it.
Don't pay attention when I talk.
Charles, if you missed this one, what is Ernie's biggest pet peeve about a hotel room?
Oh, the dirty shower tub combination.
There we go.
Which is not even a thing, I might add.
Yeah, we made it a thing.
Oh, hey, TK, we were
you blew up the internet.
When he said that X amount of years ago, I thought he was joking. And then we were somewhere else in the last couple of years. He's just, oh, I hate this hotel. I'm like, why? He says, the dreaded shower tub combination. I was like, you were serious about that?
Shower tub combo.
Yeah, nothing I feel like that for your back, right, Ernie?
That's a guaranteed slip and fall.
Hey, that's Joe Pesci. And you were serious about that, Judge?
You were serious about that. That was one of the greatest lines in that movie.
Isn't it? I love me some Joe Pesci. You too, use.
All right, here we go. Fernie, Charles revealed he doesn't get his eyebrows waxed anymore. What's the name of the new eyebrow treatment he opts for?
It's threading, TK.
Ernie is killing this. You ready, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
This is actually a toss-up, so either you guys can jump in, whoever's first. Our first guest on season 3 was Wayne Gretzky. We learned that Wayne's teammates did not call him the Great One. They used a different nickname. It came from the name he would use to check into hotels so he wouldn't be bothered.
Oh, God, I forgot about that one. I just saw the Great One last night.
We all did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I cannot remember that. What is it?
Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas.
Mr. Douglas.
That's hilarious.
All right, back to Ernie. This is a tough one.
Oh, good.
You know what's really funny about
You're
that?
Winning.
You know, I know
they've been easy though.
This is a true story. So I kept.
We're taking a small break in the quiz for this anecdote from Charles.
No, so I want to tell you about the name thing. So you can't tell every friend what name
that
you stay under. I develop a system. This is a true story.
A system.
Well, I developed a system where I stayed under the name of the person who won the PGA Tour that week.
Did you really?
I did.
And he never got bothered when you put down Jack Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus wasn't playing when I was playing. He was already, because he only won one. He won the Masters in 86.
But who did you used to always go? You, for a long time, you went with the same.
James Bond.
James Bond.
Shaken, not stirred.
Yeah. Bond, James Bond.
You know who I use when I don't want to be disturbed in my room? What name I use?
What?
Kenny Smith. There you go.
Ernie. What was the name of Chuck's prom date who appeared on the podcast? We'll accept the first name.
Don't give him to him.
He missed it. I cannot. Man, I'm getting old.
Yeah, no I way. Agree with you. I agree with you on that one.
Samantha.
Nope.
Amy Shorter.
I knew there was an S in there.
You had a nice.
Amy Shorter. That's right.
Chuck, what was the name of the billion-dollar business you passed on when you were in Shark Tank and eventually became a sponsor of our show?
Oh, Manscaped.
Oh, very good, man. A good memory there. Yeah,
but that's only because I don't Manscaped.
How can that be a tough question when it was his thing and he knew he blew it and... Okay,
well, first of all, they turned down Ring also, in fairness. But the reason I turned down Manscaped because I don't Manscaped.
Please, next question. He's going to explain that whole thing.
I Manscaped, that would have meant something to me.
Uh-huh.
All right, Ernie. What does Charles affectionately call his grandson?
LFH.
LFH. That is, the answer is correct. I just take that.
Little Henry.
All right. Last one for the Chuckster.
The F is silent.
The F is silent. You've heard Ernie say it 1,000 times now. What is the phone number for Chuck's answering machine?
No chance here.
Hey, America.
404.
Oh.
857-1921.
No. And don't anybody call that number because we have no idea what it is. Somebody, that's not even close.
Hey, America, please don't call
Ernie,
that number.
You are the winner, 3-2.
404-987-0330.
Hey, please don't call
I'll
that number.
I'll sign this for you later if you want. You are the winner.
Thank
3-2.
You. That was a very. Did you come up with all those questions
I did
on
not.
Your own?
No, hell no, he didn't.
Cap came up.
Oh, so you're just reading Cap's quiz?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that? Legendary behavior?
Yes.
No, it is not.
No, but you're still a legend.
It's called mailing it in.
Hey, well, you're good at that.
Yeah. I'm just a freeloader. Yeah.
This TK segment brought to you by FedEx.
What's that guy name?
What guy?
The legendary Mike.
Mike Pearl.
Mike Pearl.
Yeah.
You're the new Mike Pearl.
Yeah.
My rest in peace, Mike Pearl.
That's
one of the
right.
best people I ever met. But you're the new Mike Pearl.
His nickname is with the Pet Rock.
The Pet Rock.
Yeah, he never moved.
That's hilarious.
That's a pretty good. That's a pretty good nickname right there. And you have people saying Pet Rock. You got to go back a few years to remember. Remember the Pet Rock.
He was a genius, man.
Yes, he was.
And now you're kind of a something.
A legendary genius who was also rather sedentary.
Well, thank you for another great year, Mr. Kiley.
Thank you, boys.
TK, it's a pleasure. I'm going to do everything in my power to see that you get back on the podcast next year.
Good luck with that.
Can we lobby for that, Chuckster?
It's your decision, Godfather.
No, we'll get back to you, TK.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in the Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the Steam Room.
Wow, that's the last time we'll hear that rendition.
You know, you've been telling me to get what's the app that you sleep to?
Oh, the Calm app?
The Calm app?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with this.
That's not going to put you to sleep.
I'm just going to, it'll put me to sleep. I think I'm going to get that on a loop.
That little clip. The stand-up bass and that guy from wherever.
He's from Phoenix, don't forget.
From Phoenix, Chuck. That's not going to give you a restful night's sleep.
I'm going to put that on a loop.
All right. Hey, final segment, which means Chuck's answering machine.
And I just want to thank everybody who took time out of their life to call into our show, especially, you know, we changed the intro to make it an international thing because we get so many international calls. But I want to personally thank every single person who took time out of their life to call in and ask a question.
Well done. Spin it.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hi, Ernie and Charles. Mike here from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Been a loyal steamer since day one. As I plan to one day visit the U.S., I would like to ask both of you for a first-timer, which places or state is a must-visit, and what food or restaurant is a must-try while I'm there. Thank you for your time, and just want to say thank you for what you guys did in the show and podcast. It's something I always look forward to every time it gets uploaded.
A call from Malaysia. Just as you say, welcome, hey, world, leave a message.
There are places in the United States that you need to visit, but you would never live. New York City is A number one.
Got to be there. Got to see it. Got to experience it.
You got to experience New York. It is one of the most interesting places. Maybe the most interesting place I've ever been in the United States.
It's a vibrant place.
Yes.
It's alive all the time.
Yes.
And there's an energy there that you can't describe, and you don't find anywhere else.
Yeah, Chicago is
especially in the spring and summer.
Rephrase it. Only during the spring and summer.
Great
never
restaurants.
Great restaurants. Great energy. The Million Dollar Mile is just amazing. Walking down there with all that shopping.
experience a game at Wrigley Field?
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
I mean, even though it's a dump, it's great historically.
How about Vegas? Is Vegas on the list of things you should see?
Vegas?
Just to say you've been there.
I love Vegas. You know, I'm a gambling degenerate, so I love Vegas. I don't go to shows, but I bet if you went to shows, they got so many great things going on there. You could find some shows to go to. And last and definitely not least, L.A. A lot of traffic, a lot of fake people. But man, L.A. is an interesting, fun place to go.
So that's a start.
That's a start.
If you're just going to come over and you haven't been to the States, you can hit those spots. And then and you'll find also there's a million other places that have their own charm and their own appeal.
Yes, to various folks. I agree with you, Ernest.
So there you go. Next up.
Hey, guys. This is Matt Putterman. I'm the son of Dr. Putterman, Charles's ex-eye doc. I just had to call in after I heard you talking about him in another episode. First things first, Ernie, he is real, and you can take my word for it. He's enjoying retirement, especially becoming a grandfather when my son was born in December. I also wanted to congratulate Charles for also becoming a grandfather recently. Now you two old heads have something new to discuss, a lot better than talking about glasses. Anyway, my family really looks forward to connecting with you soon, Charles, and all the best to your family.
I meant no offense when I said that's a made-up name. It just sounded like a Seinfeld thing. Yeah. It's like, hey, so my eye doctor, Dr. Putterman, what's his name? I just call him Dr. Putterman.
So I get a text from Dr. Putterman. He was laughing so hard. He says, my son told, he listened to you guys' steam room when I had to listen to it. He was laughing so hard. He says, Ernie thinks I'm made up. I was like, no, tell him. It was great. You know, he retired last year. Don't worry about my glasses, Doc. I can find some somewhere. Actually, it's the only time in my life Shaq ever came in handy.
He has a pretty good hookup for us.
I know. Whoever thought he would be useful?
Oh, he's always been useful.
I mean,
He's got his hands in a million different things now, and so you never know.
Yeah.
And it's great because, like, I needed a new printer in my home office. He was like, yeah, have you seen those printers that I... Yeah, I've seen them. How many do you need? just one is fine. And then the glasses, too.
Yeah, shout out to Jamie.
Jamie's awesome.
Jamie, thank you for the eyeglasses, man. They sweet. But I'm going to see Dr. Putterman this summer when I go back to Philly, man. Okay. He's so excited. And let me tell you something. I'm so excited. So, you know, I had not seen my grandson since the second day after he was born. I got to hold him for a little bit. So I went to visit Christiana for Mother's Day. And I could only be there Friday and Saturday because we had to be back here Sunday. So, man, just being with that little man, holding him all night, watching basketball. I was drinking beer. And I asked him, Henry, you want some beer? He couldn't answer me. So I took that as a no.
Man, the look on your face when you talk about that grandchild, man.
It was so much fun just hanging out with him. Like I say, he's like his grandpa. I'll do his sleep, eat, and shit.
Wait till he calls you by a name for the first time. Woo, man, that's the greatest.
Yeah, so
it's the greatest.
I kept asking, want some beer? Want some beer? Yeah. Want some tequila? So we had a blast. It was great to spend time with them. They were amazing. I just sit there and watch basketball all night and held them. It was great. So
wonderful.
Can't wait to share stories with Dr. Putterman.
Next up.
Hey, Chuck. This is your old Auburn teammate, Gary Godfrey. And before you say it, no, I did not beat you up in practice. I barely laid a hand on you. LOL. May is ALS Awareness Month. Did you know the average life expectancy for someone living with ALS is 2 to 5 years? And did you know it costs over $250,000 per year to care for someone with ALS? And did you know our military veterans are 2 to 3 times more likely to be diagnosed with ALS? There is still no cure for ALS and no meaningful treatments. Charles, I want to thank you for helping me raise awareness for ALS, and thank you for all the support you have given me. War Eagle.
Gary Godfrey is one of my favorite people in the world. He's one of my favorite teammates. He's got the most amazing wife, Carol. It's really a tough situation for me because he's such a good dude. So I give an example of what a good dude is. Me and Bruce Pearl have a golf tournament. We raise money for the program every year. So Gary actually paid to play golf with me. And we raised money for the program. So he's like, I'll pay you a lot of money to play golf with you, the money going to the program. I'm like, Gary, you don't have to. You can play golf with me anytime you want to. He's like, no, money's going to the program. And Ernie, within 5 months, he was in a wheelchair.
Mm.
And I was like, what's going on? He's like, I got ALS. And they asked me, I'm playing golf with some people. We're raising some money for ALS. And he's amazing. He's got the best spirit. And Carol is just amazing because he's been battling this thing for a long time. Mm-hmm. But he uses a machine to talk now. But when we first started talking, he could talk. And he's not bitter. He's not angry. And he made me a better basketball player. Gary fouled me every single day in practice. He's about probably 6'7", 260. I think that's what he was in college. I used to joke, when I got to the NBA, I was used to physicality. Because Gary was one of those guys, like, that's the way he played. And it was very frustrating in the beginning, but once I adjusted to it, I said, this is going to make me a better player in the long run. But to have a friend with a great attitude with ALS, and I would do anything for him and his wife, Carol, and I'm trying to figure out what's the best way for me to help them. But, man, I appreciate Gary calling. But I think if I remember correctly, this is ALS Awareness Month, and I'm glad y'all got him on. And remember, we had
Steve Gleason.
And, you know, him and Gary, the two most prominent people I know with this disease, and they're both, man, the spirit they have is contagious. I forget his hashtag.
It's hashtag make today your best day.
Make today your best day. And shout out to Steve Gleason, too.
I guess we could say this is last call. The final call.
Thank you guys again.
For this season.
Thank you guys for taking time out of y'all life to call in.
G'day, guys. It's the OLS, the original loyal steamer, Stav, here in Australia. Firstly, congratulations on a fantastic season 3 of the Steam Room. I've been watching all the playoff clips on the NBA on TNT YouTube channel, and I noticed something that Ernie does, which may be kind of curious. Whenever you guys come back from commercial break, Ernie always fixes the cuff of his sleeve. Well, not really fixes, but he sort of subtly grabs at the cuff. Charles, I'm not sure if you've ever noticed that, or theorized why Ernie does that, or maybe you know why. I guess Ernie might be very superstitious. So it might just be superstition, or he's saying a prayer, or thinking of a particular person as you guys come back on air. Whatever it is, I'd love Ernie to explain why he does that. Have a wonderful break from the Steam Room, and catch you in season 4. Stav.
Stav, thank you, my brother.
Appreciate you, Stav.
You are the ultimate law steamer. Shout out to you and hope everybody in your family is safe. I'll go first. And this is just a guess. I have noticed it every show. When we start the show, I don't know when I start noticing. Obviously, I've been on the show for 21 years. So year one, I notice it now. I notice it all the time. I think it's a signal to a family member. That's just my guess. I have no proof. We've never discussed it, but you take it from here.
It is. It's exactly what it is. Not to a particular family member. It's to all of my family members because everybody's, you know, watching in different places if they're watching. And so, yeah, so when we come on the pregame show, and I'll do it, I always do it at the start of the night, and then at various times I might throw it in there again, but it's a subtle thing, but it's noticeable. So it's like, hey, welcome to TNT NBA tip-off presented by CarMax. And then they take the four shot of us and I grab my cuff.
So you think your family's watching you?
Every now and then if nothing else is on.
Okay.
That's how I do it. I just kind of do this and then that's it. But the problem, I mean, the only thing, like when we take the show on the road,
yeah,
and we're using hand mics, So, you know, when we do that, so I always have to you'll see it when I do that too. So, yeah, it's just staff, that's what it is. That's just saying hey to my family, saying I love my family and so, how y'all doing tonight.
So, why don't you just say it would've been easy instead of that long convoluted answer?
I wanted to give it some texture.
Why don't you
some depth.
But just let it roll off your tongue. Chuckster, you were right.
Oh, no, I think, but it's been out there before. Okay. I mean, I've told people that I say hey to my family by grabbing on my cuff. So maybe you read that. No, probably not.
Yeah, okay.
But if it was strictly a guest, then that's a great guest. And how about Stav, man?
He's been amazing.
He has been right from the start.
Yes, but just let me tell you something. I feel like when I'm with Stav, I'm in the middle of the desert and I'm dying and I need some moisture. We've been waiting on his beer for 4 years, 3 years.
He sent us T-shirts.
Yeah, I wanted beer. He said he's in the beer business. Send us beer. Yeah.
Hey, Stav, my wife wears that T-shirt to bed a lot.
Okay. And Stav,
so thank you very much.
I do my hand like this a lot, and there's nothing in it because you didn't send the beer. But thanks for nothing. But thanks for being a lost team.
Thanks to all of our loyal Steamers.
Oh, man. Thanks for calling
Chuckster,
in.
3 years in the books here, man. 3 years.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And I want to thank every single guest, the great Josh Allen today, but I want to thank all our guests we've had. You know, you go back to Dr. Fauci, Payton, Tom Brady, Van Jones, Killer Mike.
It's been a wonderful ride so far, and it's not over.
Oh,
because I can't
over.
Wait for season four.
Yeah, it's been a great ride, but I just want to thank all the callers and all the celebrities and guests we've had.
Yeah,
it's been amazing.
The well-known is one thing.
Yeah,
but also
regular people, the brother who was the teacher from New York City.
Just the calls we've gotten mean so much to us. So thank you a ton for continuing to be loyal Steamers and for putting up with our nonsense. And we look forward to
season four.
Dispelling even more or dispensing even more nonsense. Months from now when the NBA season cranks up again. It'll be here before we know it.
Oh, sadly, I love downtime. I ain't gonna lie, America.
I love me some downtime.
I love me some downtime. I get to play golf and fish and just enjoy life. I love downtime. Yeah. When I get that phone call, when they tell me we're starting, I just drop my head.
But meantime, binge listen. Is that a thing? Can you binge listen?
You can binge watch. You can binge listen.
Yeah. You can binge listen to the Steam Room. Do that. Go through the first three seasons and then kind of time it out so that now I need that fourth season.
Yeah.
And there will
be. There we go.
There you go. All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Chuckster.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
pleasure,
Mr. Johnson.
Man.
Great
awesome.
Year.